With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back in on the drive, Carrington here, Kylie here, Fanning here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the Chiefs. We'll talk a little bit about them. There was a stat that's circulating in the NFL. I'm curious if this means anything to you. KU fans, I got a question. K-State fans, I got a question as a Missouri fan about how I should approach today and the Sunflower rivalry. We've been trying to track down how long it's been since K-State has been favored over Kansas. We'll also get to that coming up in this hour. But earlier today, you and I had a really cool opportunity. Brandon, I'll play it. Don't worry about it. Earlier today, you and I got the opportunity to catch up with both the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks and the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats and Wyatt Thompson.
Yeah, we did. I love those guys, man. And tonight's a big game. Wyatt's fired up. Haney's fired up. I just hope KU gets to Manhattan safely, man. I'm looking at these roads out there. It looks nasty.
So let's just start with this. Here is our conversation with Brian Haney, who is the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. We are very happy to be joined by the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. Brian Haney joins us today on The Drive. Brian, let's start with this. I kind of feel like we see two different KU teams, home and road. What kind of effort are you expecting from KU tonight?
Well, it's a great observation, and the numbers back it up. Just 1-5 in true road games this year, and maybe – part of that is a young team trying to figure it out away from home and hostile environments, but you also have to point to the fact that they didn't have Jadoka Azubuike in those games. And right now, it's a team that's just 8-5 when Doak's not on the floor. And I think when you've got a presence like that, regardless of venue and where you're at, it's extra rim protection. It's a lot more easy buckets around the rim. Folks forget he had 120 dunks last season. And so when you're on the road and when possessions are valued even more, because maybe you're not going to get some of the whistles you might get at home, or you don't have the natural energy the crowd to feed off of and all that. You had that guy last season you could always lob it up to and find a way to get an easy two when you needed it to halt a big run by the opposition. And so that may be the biggest factor in why this team has faltered away from home. But you asked, what do I expect tonight? I expect the Kansas team that used last Friday's series of bad news, starting with the Marcus Garrett ankle injury and then the Silvio De Sousa ruling, to really fuel their fire and play about as good as we've seen them play, at least in a half, you know, versus Texas Tech. And obviously they had the home crowd to feed off then, but more than anything, prior to what happened on Friday or any Devontae Graham FaceTime pep talk that they got on Saturday prior to tip-off, Bill Self throughout the week on the heels of the loss at Texas was talking about how his team needed to get back to being aggressive and playing tough and being just, you know, all up in your business defensively and not just expecting shots to be made and runs to come, but to go out there and seize it, to play with that Bill Self brand of toughness that they've really built this 14 straight streak on. And I think those values definitely were picked up upon by the team. And they took on a team in Texas Tech that was one of the nation's best in field goal percentage defense, 3-point percentage defense, and scoring defense. And in many regards, they beat them at their own game, at least over the first 20 minutes. I thought they were stifling defensively, and I thought we saw Kansas just play way more on the attack. And so hopefully we'll see that tonight against another really good defensive team. We all know how tough it is to score on the Cats, and hopefully Kansas goes in there. But, you know, they also let it fly and hit 13 threes. Can't count on that. Hopefully that does travel. But I think more than anything, just heading in there with that, let's make our own breaks. Let's get 90% of the 50-50 balls. Let's want it more. That's what it's going to take to translate winning at home to winning on the road.
Talking to Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Brian, you brought up Marcus Garrett. How big of a loss is that in tonight's game, considering you got K-State's three leading scorers are all seniors in Stokes, Brown, and Dean Wade?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, for the reasons I mentioned about how competitive Kansas State is defensively, and he's the exact type of hard-nosed, gritty player you want in that matchup. But I would have said the same about Texas Tech, and I would have said the same about the matchup with Tennessee that they won without him on a neutral floor in the Bronx or in Brooklyn because he had a concussion that day. I would have said, boy, these are the matchups where you really need Marcus Garrett because he sets the tone in terms of toughness and defensive intensity and all of that. But I do think that we saw Kansas really, you know, rally together and circle the wagons in his absence on Saturday, and hopefully, you know, that'll help. But something you saw on Saturday that you can't count on every time is his ability, his team's ability versus Texas Tech to hit threes. Devon Dotson was launching them more than we've seen since the opener versus Michigan State. And not coincidentally, he goes for a career-high 20 and matches his career high with three threes. We saw LeGerald Vick be what Bill Self calls good LeGerald, as opposed to the sporadic one that sometimes is off his game and takes bad shots. He took good shots within the flow of the offense, and he came out firing. You don't know if that will travel or not. But if we see Kansas hitting early, then you don't need the slasher driver of Marcus Garrett nearly as much. But make no mistake, he is probably their best rim finisher and their best guy in a half-court set. If offense is working and three-point shots aren't falling, to just put his head down, cut and drive and get to the rim, you'll miss that tonight, certainly. So, you know, you don't want to put too much on the shoulders of spot-up shooting and three-point shooting and all that. So maybe they can create some things in transition off of their defense with Devon Dotson on the break. But I think where they'll miss Garrett the most is defense on the perimeter with some of those great K-State veterans you mentioned, but then also in a half-court set off the bounce. And that's where KU's just going to have to step up and take some big shots and make some big shots and hit enough shots, Brad, that K-State can't clamp down too much on Dedrick Lawson and double-team him on every catch, because obviously that's a nightmare scenario for Kansas. If he's being double-teamed and nobody else can keep the defense honest by hitting shots, that's how you get your butts beat, and that's what we saw in Austin a week ago.
And that's Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. Brian, thanks a lot for coming on today, man. Really appreciate it.
Character, Brad, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the invites, and rock chalk.
So that was Brian Haney. He is the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. I mean, the question to me with KU, and we'll talk to Wyatt Thompson coming up here in just a little bit, is the question to me is, are you mentally tough enough to win this game? If I'm Self, that's the button that I'm pressing. Everywhere that you've gone on the road, aside from Baylor, you haven't come through. Whether it was at Iowa State, where you got the doors blown off you, whether it was closing out at West Virginia, whether it was at Texas, where you were in the game, but like not really in the game. Are you mentally tough enough to go into an environment in which they hate you? They're going to be screaming. They're going to be doing the wall bash can. They're going to be doing all that stuff. This is going to be, for some of you, the toughest basketball environment you've ever played in. Are you mentally tough enough? That's what I would be saying if I'm Bill Self today to my team.
And at this point, they're not. They haven't been this season. And I'm with you. That you've got to play the tough card. Are you soft or not? Because we've beat K-State 8 straight times. We've dominated this over the course of, since 1990? Whatever it was, even beyond that?
I mean, since actually the basketball was invented.
Yeah, I think so, since Naismith had the rules. I mean, you've dominated this. You couldn't do it at West Virginia, which didn't have a Big 12 win. You got rocked at Iowa State. So, yeah, are you tough enough or are you soft? What are you made of? That's how you challenge those guys.
So that was the underdog in Kansas Jayhawks. Yes, hashtag bet against us. Let's head to Manhattan to talk to Wyatt Thompson, who is the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. Our conversation started with him. This is the biggest game in Manhattan since.
Well, it's been a while. Let's put it that way. I think, as we all know, KU's won 8 straight in the series. They've dominated this series for a long, long time. I think it's an important game for K-State in a lot of reasons. But one, you're catching KU at a time where, for the first time in recent memory, they don't necessarily have a really great group of veteran guards. Their guards are really good. They're just young. And I think K-State has such veteran leadership with Dean Wade, Kamau Stokes, Barry Brown, Xavier Sneed. I think that's what makes this particular game stand out and be a little different than some of the others, at least in recent times.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Wyatt, because that's the biggest thing that I'm looking at. Young guards versus three seniors in Stokes, Barry, and Dean Wade, man. And especially playing at home, you've got young guards coming into Manhattan that way. I think that's a really big advantage for K-State tonight.
Well, it certainly could be, but let's be honest, too. KU has come in here before and has had somebody step up big. I think you're going to get what you get out of Dedrick Lawson. He's pretty much a walking double-double. I think what K-State's concern with is say, a Devon Dotson, who had 20 on Saturday against Texas Tech, or maybe Quentin Grimes plays to his capabilities, because those two kids are dynamic players. There's no doubt about that. But their best days are ahead of them yet. They're still learning. As good as they are, they're still learning at the major college level. Abaji, I think you could probably throw in there too. Yeah. What an electric athlete, and what a shot in the arm that guy's been for them. So it really is an intriguing matchup to me on so many different levels.
Wyatt, last year I remember, like, I think it was the first time out when KU was playing K-State in Manhattan, and I think Holly Rowe may have reported it, I'm not sure, but she basically said that Bruce Weber told the guys, hey, listen, they're nothing special. They put their pants on just like we do. What does K-State have to do? And do you think maybe they've matured to the point where they're not overly amped up for KU taking on a rival tonight?
That, to me, is the question going into this game. I think what this boils down to is our players, our coaches, our fans all know how big this game is. And sometimes you have to, you want to be excited, you want to be revved up, but yet you have to have a little bit of control. And I think the last couple of years when Kansas has come in here, I don't think K-State really, frankly, handled it all that well. And part of that was youth. Part of it was KU's unbelievable talent. And it just played out to where I remember, I think it was 3 years ago when KU came in here, I don't know that they missed a shot for the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game. You know, so you get behind the eight ball against those guys, you're asking for a long night. So you better be cut in. You better make some shots early and kind of get the crowd, you know, really revved up and going. And yet play under control and play with confidence. And those are things that, you know, sometimes it's much easier said than done.
Why, looking at Bruce Weber, how important would you say this game is for him from a legacy standpoint and kind of his standing with the fans? I know they made the Elite Eight last season, so that kind of takes a little bit of the fire away from you. But, Bill, even dating back to Illinois, he's kind of always been that shadow over Bruce Weber. How important would you say today is for him?
Well, I think it's important, but I don't know that it's the biggest thing ever, to be honest with you. What we just talked about with the players, you know, being able to handle the moment, I think Bruce Weber will do that just fine. He's been around the game a long, long time, kind of understands and appreciates what it is. And I think his biggest concern is players, how they're going to handle this. I think he'll be just fine. And in terms of how he's perceived, I don't mean to be rude in any way. I don't think he cares 1% about that at this moment. He may later down the line, but he's got a job to do tonight.
And that's Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. Wyatt, tonight should be a fun one. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
My pleasure, guys. Great talking to you. Appreciate it.
Always good to catch up with the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks and Brian Haney and Wyatt Thompson. An analogy just popped in my head regarding Bruce Weber. We'll talk about it on the other side. And there's a Chiefs stat I want to get to, Fanning. I want to ask you how important you think this is for next season. Talking KU, K-State, and a little Chiefs coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
You know what? It just hit me.
What's that, buddy?
You remember a couple of days ago, we were talking about how everybody in life has a Patrick Mahomes. And what I mean by that is everybody in life, like, you thought you were really good at something. But there was somebody in your neighborhood, at your school, in your class, at your church, who was just better than you, you know? Like, I was telling you this story about my friend, Dustin Andrews. He was just better than me. He was faster than me. He was better looking than me. He was just a better human being than I was. He owns, like, 7 Chick-fil-A's. Dustin Andrews is going on to have a great life. My life ain't so bad, but Dustin probably has a little better life than me. He was just always better than me. You were telling us a story about your Patrick Mahomes. Brandon, you were telling us a story about your Patrick Mahomes. Everybody has a Patrick Mahomes. It finally hit me who Bruce Weber's Patrick Mahomes is.
Bill Self.
Bill Self. Think about it. You did a good job at Illinois. You got some big-time talent there. You got D. Brown. Like you did some stuff. But, man, everybody says, I mean, Bill got those players. So, like, you don't even really get full credit for taking your team to the national championship because you didn't recruit them. When you get to K-State, you win the Big 12. You want to know who you shared it with that year?
Who?
Bill Self. Kansas. That's who it is. It just hit me. That's who his Patrick Mahomes is. Bruce Weber's Patrick Mahomes, the person that was always better than him, is Bill Self.
You're right. And there's probably more guys to Bruce Weber. I think he has a lot of Bill Self's. I mean, Bruce Weber's a nice coach, but, you know, Bill Self has pretty much dominated Bruce Weber at K-State. You know, Weber's got him a couple of times. But, yeah, Weber didn't get any credit for what he did at Illinois.
No credit.
Those were all Bill Self's guys. Remember Bruce Weber when he got there? He had the funeral for Bill Self because they were trying to get that out of there. Yeah, it's haunted him. And now he haunts him in the Big 12.
You know, and you know what it reminds me of? You probably don't remember this movie, but there was a movie when I was a kid. It was called Little Giants. It reminds me of this scene from Little Giants.
We used to race our bikes down Cherry Hill every day after school. We'd race every day, and he'd always beat me. But one time, I beat him.
You beat Kevin down Cherry Hill?
Yes, I did. He ate my dust.
That's all you got to do, Bruce. Do it one time for Dean Wade. Do it one time for Barry Brown. We played the audio earlier. I'll play it for you guys if you missed it. Barry Brown was telling us, this actually might be Kamal Stokes. Maybe he got mislabeled here. Some K-State player was telling us this is the bucket list for them because they've never beaten Brown, KU. Yeah.
Us seniors, we have bucket list games, and this is one of our bucket list games. We haven't beat them at all the whole time we've been here, so this is definitely real big for us.
Listen, we've never beaten them. I'm a senior. I mean, I had a chance to go to the Final Four, but I've never beaten KU. This is on my bucket list. I'm telling you, that's just Patrick Mahomes. Bruce Weber's Patrick Mahomes is Bill Self. He's the guy that's always been better than you.
Yeah, I'm glad that Barry Brown said that. I think he's being honest about how he feels about this game coming up. But, man, you can't think of it that way. You got to go into this game as it's like any other game. And, by the way, pregame for KU K-State starts on 610 Sports Radio at 7 o'clock. We're off the air at 6. Bank will take you up to K-State pregame and then tips at 8 o'clock. You can't look at this game that way, man. I know it's a bucket list game, and I know you want to win it, but you've got to treat it like every other game. Treat it like the Oklahoma State game, and you went out there and you locked them down in Stillwater. Treat it like, you know, the Texas game. Treat them like games where you've gone out and you've played your best basketball. If you go in there thinking, we got to knock off Big Brother tonight, and it's a bucket list game, and this game means more than any other game on our schedule, chances are you're going to get the same outcome you had the last time you played them in Manhattan.
Text line is saying that's Kamal Stokes, so my apologies. It's labeled on our system as Barry Brown, so I want to give Kamal Stokes credit for his quote about that being a bucket list game. K-State, I mean, absolutely no disrespect to your basketball organization. Let's make this point really quickly, and we'll get back to the KU-K-State game coming up momentarily. I do have a question I want to ask K-State fans. There's a stat circulating. I know how much you love your numbers. You love numbers, Fanny. I've never met a person that loves numbers more than you.
Come on, man.
So, none of the 11 highest scoring teams in NFL history have gone on to win the Super Bowl. Not a single one of them. Is that something or nothing in your mind?
I think it's something because you got to play defense. Look at the Super Bowl we just saw. It was dominated by defense. I know most people hated it, but at some point you've got to play some defense. The Patriots played no defense in Atlanta when they came back from 28-3 down to win it in the first half of that game. They played defense. They turned it around, and look what happened to them. Look at the Patriots in the early part of the season. Awful defensively. Not just this year, last year too. And they turned it around, and they went to the Super Bowl in back-to-back. They've gone 3 years in a row now. So, yeah, to me it is something. You can have a great offense, and that's great. It can take you a long way, but at some point you've got to get a stop. And we should know that better than any other team in the NFL right now, especially based on what we saw in the AFC title game in overtime.
I ask that because one would think that the Chiefs will probably be one of the 10 highest scoring teams in NFL history next season. If you had to ask me, they were, what, third this year? I'll guess that next year's Chiefs team is one of the 10 highest scoring teams in the history of the NFL. This stat suggests, now I didn't find the stat, I just saw it on Pro Football Talk. None of the teams that have finished in the top 11 have won a championship before. That's some startling thing. Now, I actually don't think it's anything. I think it's just kind of like this year's Rams team was certainly good enough to win the Super Bowl. Like this year's Rams team's defense was good enough. Their offense was good enough. They just lost. Going back to the 07 Patriots, we agree that team was good enough to win the Super Bowl, just didn't win the Super Bowl. The Broncos from a couple years ago, 2013, I believe that was the year, maybe the year that they lost to Denver. That team was certainly good enough to win the Super Bowl. So I actually don't think this stat is something. I just think it's interesting.
I mean, I think you need balance. And you've got to be able to get a stop at some point. And I think that's what this – I think it is something. You know, defense isn't sexy in the NFL right now. Lewis Riddick said it after the Super Bowl that he enjoyed the Super Bowl, but that's not the type of football that's in vogue right now. You got to be able to stop somebody at some point, and especially when the season is on the line. It's one thing to stop the Browns in week 5. It's one thing to stop the Raiders, you know, in week 17. It's another thing to do it against playoff caliber teams in January. And I think it is something. I think it's something. I mean, because think about it. If the Chiefs had a fraction, I mean, that's why I call the Super Bowl the What If Bowl. What if the Chiefs had a defense that wasn't ranked 31st? Then this whole thing, they would have been the first team that with an offense like that to actually go to and win the Super Bowl. I do think it's something.
So these are the teams that have finished top 10 in the history of the NFL in scoring. The 2013 Denver Broncos, the 07 New England Patriots, the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs, the 2011 Green Bay Packers, which is probably the best year that Aaron Rodgers has ever had, the 2012 New England Patriots, the 1998 Minnesota Vikings, certainly one of the greatest offenses of all time. That was the Randall Cunningham, Moss, Carter, Jake Reed, Robert Smith, an all-time kind of team. The 2011 Saints, the 1983 Redskins, which took me by surprise. I had no clue that the Redskins in 83 were just out here scoring points and left and right.
They were dominant and then got absolutely schooled by the Raiders in the Super Bowl, like 38-9.
The 2016 Atlanta Falcons, you guys remember their story very well. The 2000 Rams and the 2018 Rams, those 11 teams all have in common that they did not win the Super Bowl. Coming up in a little bit, KU fans, K-State fans, I got a question about tonight's game as a neutral observer. How do I watch it? I'll explain coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
I wish that sometimes this show was on television so you guys can see the, like, look of disappointment on Brandon's face whenever he makes a mistake. Like, he just completely messed up the traffic. Like, now's the time. Like, sometimes
nobody
the traffic.
Knew.
Hey, man, you don't want to mess with Jay Edwards. Have you seen that dude? He's yoked, and he will come after you.
Some days.
He was good.
Some days the traffic isn't that big of a deal. It's nice outside.
Today's kind of not one of those days. Like, it's a big deal today.
Today, the traffic matters.
Guys, it's slippery out there. Be careful.
You know the people over in Kansas can't drive.
Easy.
So they need all the traffic advice and help that you can give them. But
I just don't want
to mess up Jay Edwards' time to shine. You get time to shine. Why are you going to Jay Edwards? You know on this show he gets, what, 4 minutes an hour to really shine?
Yeah.
3.5 minutes an hour to do his thing. And you go cut into Jay Edwards'
Again,
time?
Jay Edwards was fine. It was the introduction lady who got messed up. Jay Edwards was there the whole time.
I want to put this out there for people that are driving in Missouri right now. Please be safe out there and don't slide into a pothole. I mean, because those potholes in Missouri can absolutely swallow your car. Just being safe. Just be safe out there.
I got to ask you guys a question. Let me ask you, Fanning, first, because you're a KU fan.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think KU has a rival anymore. Now, I think their rival is Missouri, but I'm biased. I'll admit that. I cheer for the University of Missouri. But I don't think KU has a rival anymore. I think the closest their rival is to Kentucky, but they're not in the conference, so I understand that rivalry is a little bit differently. It's not tied into the tradition that a game like Missouri and Kansas is, so it's no way it can be the same. I want to understand how this is a rivalry between KU and K-State. Because it's called the Sunflower Showdown, and you're in the same state. And I'm always told how we don't care about Missouri anymore. They're gone to the SEC.
Yeah, that's not true.
They took their ball and they left. We want nothing to do with them.
That's
perfectly
true.
Fine. Since 1990, KU and K-State have played 71 basketball games.
Yeah.
KU has won 64 of those games.
Okay.
Bramlage Coliseum, the building the game is in today, should be renamed Allen Fieldhouse West. That's what it should be renamed.
Okay.
Now, I've been there before. Great venue. A lot of fun. I love the people in Manhattan. KU is 26-4 all time in Bramlage Coliseum. You, KU fan, lifelong KU fan. I remember last year when K-State was heading to the Final Four and they were trying. They were out here. They were beating Creighton and they were knocking off Kentucky. You were cheering for the Kansas State Wildcats.
Of course I
was. Wanted to see them get to the Final Four.
Why wouldn't I?
Doesn't sound like a rival to me. It doesn't sound like a rival to me. If you beat a team every time you play them in basketball, every single time, you smoke them in basketball, doesn't matter if it's in Kansas City, doesn't matter if it's Manhattan, doesn't matter if it's in Lawrence, you win that game. And you want that team to have success? That doesn't sound like a rival to me. So I want to know what a new term we can call what KU and K-State are doing. Because it's not a rivalry. Because you can agree, as a KU fan, if that was Missouri trying to go to the Final Four, you wouldn't be cheering for them. And that's how it should be. You cheer for Kansas. I cheer for Missouri. We're supposed to hate each other. That's the way our ancestors wanted it to be. You would not be like, oh, you know what, Bruce Weber? I want to see you guys go to the Final Four while we don't go to the Final. Yeah, that's not what you should want.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, what should I call what KU and K-State are doing? Because I don't know if it's a rivalry.
It's a rivalry. Absolutely, it's a rivalry. I mean, Bruce Weber has beaten Bill Self twice in Manhattan. Did it in February 2014. Did it in February of 2015. He's gotten him twice. Now,
out of how many times?
A bunch. But he's gotten him a couple of times, and he got him in Manhattan. I mean, I think you really feel the rivalry when K-State is good or has a shot. You know, there's down years in K-State that they don't have at Kansas. We can all agree on that. And so when you have those down years, then the rivalry doesn't necessarily feel like it. It's one thing, like, if KU's not playing K-State, I'm rooting for K-State. Like, I want K-State to be good.
But that doesn't sound like a rivalry.
Yeah, but it's because you go on the other side of the state line, and I don't care what happens over in Missouri. Nobody in Kansas, I mean, K-State and KU can gang up on Missouri. It's one thing, like I guarantee you this. If KU fans were watching a K-State-Missouri game, I guarantee you they're rooting for K-State because they want Missouri to get beat. They are brothers. Like, K-State and KU are brothers. KU's the big brother. K-State's the little brother. We can make fun of the little brother. We can pick on the little brother. But if Missouri wants to come over and mess with K-State, then we're going to gang up and we're going to kick your ass. I mean, that's just kind of that's the way I feel about it.
But this maybe is where I think the analogy falls a little bit short. Your big brother has, like, a love and protection over you. I think that KU looks down on K-State.
Maybe that's
the difference.
Yeah.
Where
I do not. As a KU fan, I do not.
But I think the majority of them look down on
I would agree with
them.
That. You're looking at, like, the agricultural farm kids, you know, Farmageddon when K-State plays Iowa State versus, like, when I was in high school, when I was in college, they called KU Shawnee Mission University. I mean, you got a bunch of Leewood kids and Prairie Village kids flooding KU. So I do believe that there is a large portion of the KU fan base that does look down and is condescending to K-State. I am not one of those people, but I see what you're saying.
Because I'm simply saying is, you don't appear to look at K-State like a rival. And maybe my definition of rival is just different, because my definition of a rival, like, when people say you're a KU hater, I cheer for Missouri. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to make Adidas jokes and all that kind of stuff. Just like you're supposed to give it back. I got no issue. If you want to make Norfolk State jokes and you want to make Thomas Robinson jokes, that's what you're supposed to do as fans. If you cheer for Missouri, I don't want to see good things happen to KU's basketball program. Mm-hmm. That's my team's rival. If you're a KU fan, you shouldn't want good things to happen to Missouri's basketball programs, because that's a rival. I don't think that Ohio State is like, you know what? I'm happy you guys got Jim Harbaugh. I'm happy to see your football program grow. I'm happy to see. Because
that's different, because it's too, like, Ohio. The state of Ohio hates the state of Michigan. I've been up there. I covered that rivalry a bunch. Just like the state of Kansas hates the state of Missouri.
Okay.
It's one thing in state.
Okay,
it's
I'll give
different.
You one. Alabama-Auburn.
Yeah, that's a legit rival. You're right. That's
Kentucky, Louisville,
yeah,
Duke, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's different than KU, K-State.
Okay,
sure.
Let's not make it seem like all the rivalries are intrastate rivalries like Missouri and Kansas. There's plenty of good in-state rivalries, same in the team conference. It just doesn't appear to be this way. That I'm not throwing any shade toward KU, not throwing any shade towards K-State. I think today is going to be a fun game. If the weather was going to be a little better, I'd probably be going to this game. I think it's going to be a crazy environment. I just think we got to call it something other than a rivalry, because my understanding of rivalries is based in hatred.
You think
these two programs don't seem to hate each other. Now maybe K-State hates KU. I don't think KU fans hate K-State. I think they look down on them.
They do. I think the majority of KU fans do. I think that's completely accurate.
Where I think that KU fans hate Missouri. I think
that's
the KU
too.
Fans hate Missouri and want nothing good to happen for them. Where I was here last year during the K-State run too. KU fans were kind of like, hey, you know what? It's okay. It would not be that way, we agree, if it was Missouri. Not even close if it was Missouri.
I don't think anybody's debating who's a bigger rival for Kansas. Is it K-State or Missouri? Missouri is. And always will be, because of the history dating all the way back to, you know, before the Civil War. I mean, I think that's where that rivalry comes from. You don't have that with KU and K-State. It's a rivalry, but it's on a different level. You know, I mean, and I think that's the biggest part of it. I do believe it's a rivalry between KU and K-State when these two teams play.
I'm trying to think
It's not on the same level as KU Missouri never will be.
I mean, it doesn't have to be on that level. This feels like Duke against NC State. That's how it feels. Like, I'm sure that whenever they play each other, it's a big-time deal.
Is it North Carolina, North Carolina State?
I don't know enough about their rivalry to know. I mean,
North Carolina is the dominant basketball school in that state. NC State has had some success, but North Carolina is the big dog in that state.
Yeah, where I would guess that North Carolina looks at NC State very similar to the way KU looks at K-State.
I would think Duke to North Carolina is like KU Missouri.
Yeah, but I guess I maybe we're just talking in circles now. I would not consider that to be a rivalry. Like, to me, Duke has a rival. It's North Carolina. Those are the games we look forward to. They got I just look at this and I'm hearing showdown. I'm hearing all these kind of stuff. I just don't feel the juice. I don't feel the buzz. I don't feel the hatred. It just doesn't feel like a rivalry to me at all.
But you're not a fan of either one of those schools. I mean, I think the rivalries are made when fan bases get after each other. And if you're seeing some of the pictures of K-State students outside of Bramlage Hall right now, I mean, they've got Bill Self dollar bills with Adidas on it. They've got all sorts of stuff. I mean, they're coming. They're going to be locked and loaded for this game. So K-State fans consider KU their biggest rival right now. But you're right. I think the majority of the KU fan base looks down upon K-State. If KU is going to legitimately hate K-State, K-State's got to win more games than two of the last 11. That has to happen. For sure, but it is a rivalry. It's not on the same level as Duke, Carolina. It's not on the same level as KU, Missouri. But to say it's not a rivalry is not, I mean, I don't think that's accurate at all. I completely disagree.
I guess it's very weird to me to think that you would want your rival to have success in the postseason the way I saw a lot of KU fans want K-State to have success in the postseason. Like, I don't think Packers fans are like, you know what, I hope that Mitch Trubisky guy wins the Super Bowl.
Why does every rivalry have to be the same? I mean, that's the other part of it. Why does every rivalry have to be exactly the same and have to have a ton of hatred? Like, I think this is a different kind of rivalry.
Because I would say those are the ones that are fun, and those are the ones that we remember and talk about.
You're right, because KU and Missouri are different than KU and K-State, for sure. There's no debating that. Just like, in my opinion, Duke is Carolina's Missouri. You know, and NC State is Carolina's K-State.
And I guess I would just say, in terms of national conversation and how we look at rivalries, we don't really look at friendly rivalries very well. Like, we don't really talk about the Duke-NC State rivalry. We don't talk about the North Carolina-NC State rivalry. Like, we normally pay attention to the ones where it's equal on both sides and there's hatreds on both sides. And that just doesn't appear to be the case for these two teams when they play each other every year. Coming up in just a little bit, it's been a long time since K-State's been favored over KU. We'll tell you how long. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, a lot of people are comparing this to the Royals and Cardinals. You hate the Cardinals. You think that's a fair comparison for the KU-K State rival?
No, I think Royals-Cardinals is more KU-Mizzou. And I know the Cardinals have had more success over the course of their franchise history than the Royals have, for sure. I mean, that's not even close. But no, I don't compare it that way.
You think there's hatred in the Royals-Cardinals rivalry?
I do, yeah, from fan bases, absolutely. Yeah, I do.
I think there is from the Kansas City side.
Yeah.
I don't think there is from the St. Louis side.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're right then. Yeah, I mean, I don't like St. Louis.
St. Louis does, like, as someone who's been on the other side, they don't care about the rivalry.
Yeah. And
that's true.
And I think from my perspective, like, it just got beat in my head from my dad as a kid, you know, because Whitey Herzog went from the Royals to the Cardinals. And Whitey was, you know, all about Whitey ball. And, you know, my dad hated him, so that made me, at least for a while, hate Whitey Herzog. And then Joaquin Andujar in 85. That's the reason why I have it, just because my dad put it in my brain. You know, that's kind of the way I will say this. I think Cardinals fans are a little bit snooty and condescending to every other baseball fan in the major leagues, and I don't like that.
I just feel like the Cardinals have their rival, and that's the Cubs.
Yeah, I would agree.
The Royals to me just don't have a rival. I'm not saying they don't have meaningful games, but I kind of feel like their rivalry changes. They're like, some years it's the Twins, some years it's the White Sox. Like, I don't think the Royals have a traditional rival.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. Back in the 70s and the 80s, it was the Yankees for sure. Because, you know, back then, you know, and I think the A's too. I think the A's and the Royals were rivals because the A's left Kansas City and went to Oakland. And then the A's were really good in the 70s. The Royals got really good in the 70s with their expansion franchise. But, yeah, I mean, there's no rivalry right now. I mean, you would like to think that you have a rival in the division. Are the Royals and the Twins rivals, the Indians, the Tigers? Not really. You're right. I don't think they have a rival.
Yeah, I remember back in 2014 and 2015, the Tigers felt like a rivalry, especially in 2014 when the Royals were trying to make the playoffs for the first time. Didn't really feel like it in 2015 because the Tigers just didn't do their part. But in 2014, you definitely circled the games between the Royals and the Tigers. So we've been trying to find this stat all day. Our guy BK, he knows somebody at the Westgate Sportsbook, which seems like a way to get yourself in trouble, to know somebody that works at a sportsbook. Goes back 22 years. So over the last 22 years, as far as we could go back, K-State has never been favored at home over Kansas.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Not one of those years. Not like a minus one. Not one single time. Not during Beasley's time there. Not during Mitch Richmond's time there.
Yeah.
Not during Jacob Pullen's time there. Not one single time over the last 22 years has K-State been favored at home over KU the way they are today.
Not even a pick'em. Not even a pick'em. It's always been KU by at least one in these things.
But I'm looking at this game, and I'm looking at it from this mindset of just mental toughness. I've been saying this. This is what I think right now the biggest problem with KU is just lack of dogs. I don't know if they got a lot of dogs on that team. I like Dedrick Lawson's game a lot. He doesn't appear to be that dog. Like, I remember I came in here one day and I told Brandon that I thought that Dedrick Lawson was better than Thomas Robinson. I then felt really stupid about that like three games later. Because Thomas, we agree, had the dog.
Yeah, he was mean.
Dedrick just doesn't appear to have it. Marcus and Markeith Morris have the dog in them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Dedrick has it. We'll see today because we agree. You were going into the Lions' den today.
Yeah, like Frank Mason was a dog.
To me, Josh Jackson was a dog.
Yeah.
Like, I think you were going in. I think you were going into an environment today that is tougher than any environment you went into. Tougher than Hilton is against KU fans, especially given the time of year it was.
Tougher than going into Rupp Arena?
I think so. Just given the hatred part of it.
Yeah.
And just given the urgency of this game for K-State. Fans in K-State know how long it's been since they beat them in that building. They know how rare they beat it. Like, there are some students there that are seniors, just like Barry Brown, just like Dean Wade, have never seen them beat KU while they've been there, and this is their last chance. They're graduating in May. This is their last chance to put on the purple, paint their face, and go out there and cheer for their team. So, yes, they know the urgency. They know how important this game is for them. To me, this is when you find out who the dogs are on KU. Vic acts like a dog. Let's see how big his bite is today. Because we agree it's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. They're going to have signs up. Like, K-State fans are going to bring it today. And Self has to let them know that you're going into an environment, if you're Quentin Grimes, if you're Dotson, this is the toughest environment you've ever played in your entire life. How do you respond? How do you handle it?
I think you could say that this is the most important game for KU this season. Because I think one of the great things about sports is finding out how your players respond in adverse situations. You know, I think Bill Self is going to, and the KU fans, we're going to learn a lot about this KU team tonight. Because I think you're right, C-Dot. Like, if you want to win, if you want to win big, and you want to win this conference, and you want to make a deep run in the tournament, these are the kind of games that you go in, you lock in, you're mentally tough, and you come out of here with a win, whether it's by 1 point, 5 points, 6 points, whatever. This is the time when KU fans are going to find out what this team is truly made of. K-State is senior-laden. They've got experience. They've got home court. It's going to be crazy in there. KU's not good on the road. At least they haven't been this year. Tonight is when you're going to find out a hell of a lot about KU basketball.
I disagree with you a little bit for this reason. I don't think KU needs to win today. I think K-State does. KU can still win the Big 12 if they lose.
Yeah, but I'm talking about long term though. I'm not talking about keeping the streak alive. I'm talking about, what do you got with your team here? What are you made of? Dedrick Lawson, can you step up? Quentin Grimes, can you lead? LeGerald Vick, can you keep your head? Abaji, as a freshman, a guy that just took the red shirt off, can you come to play in big games and be the same guy that we've seen the last few games? That's what I'm talking about. Because you put guys like that, you put athletes in certain situations, and either they rise to the occasion or they don't. And that's what I'm talking about. That's why I think you're going to find out a lot about Kansas tonight in that situation.
I don't disagree with you, but I just look at it. And maybe just you and I'm more thinking about the regular season and not really the tournament. Like, KU, to me, is going to have the same opportunity they have today. Now, I don't think the crowd's going to be as big. But you have at Texas Tech later in the year, a good team, a team that's going to be a top, 20 seed in the NCAA tournament. You've got another big game. You've got at Oklahoma State that is typically giving Bill Self KU teams trouble. So KU, to me, is going to have more than tonight's opportunity to go on the road. Vegas is not picking KU in this game. So I kind of feel like, if we're talking about it just solely based on tonight, the 40 minutes, I feel like way more of the responsibility to win in this game is on K-State, because they got to take care of home court. Just like coming up in a couple weeks, KU guys has to kind of take care of home court of. You're expected to win this game. You always win this game. Who knows how they finish out the rest of the season. I feel like K-State has to win this game. I feel like it's important for KU, but I kind of feel like more of the responsibility is on K-State to win this game than KU.
And I'm on the other side of that a little bit. Like, my opinion of K-State's not going to drastically change if they lose this game. But if KU goes out there and wins this game, okay, now we got something. Because as you said, bad road team, they come across as a little bit soft, don't have a lot of dogs, you know, been bad on the road. This is a huge test for them. I mean, K-State, come on. We talk about the rivalry. You say it's not one, I say it is one. You know, but KU's dominated this series. So K-State's not supposed to win. I don't care what Vegas says. If KU goes in there and gets beat, and then I'm going to learn a lot about this basketball team tonight, because I'm telling you, man, you put guys in situations like this and you find out what they're truly made of. It doesn't happen on the road at Iowa State. It doesn't happen on the road at Baylor. It happens in games like tonight when Vegas and nobody else thinks you have a shot, even though you got the McDonald's All-Americans and K-State doesn't.
But I will say this, though, when it comes to K-State, to strengthen my point a little bit, is I will be very curious to see how K-State responds if they lose.
Yeah, me too.
Because
me too. K-State
is putting a lot of pressure on themselves. Wyatt Thompson's talking about K-State, how important this game is for you. Dean Wade is talking about it. Kamau Stokes is talking about it. Barry Brown. K-State is talking way different than KU is in this game, knowing how big of a deal it is. And we know K-State season, if you want to talk about when it turned, you were down 21 points at home to West Virginia. You were about to lose that game. You rally back and win it, and you have turned your season completely around. We saw how emotional they get up for these games. If you get up for this big game and everybody's telling you you're going to win and you're going to break the streak and they beat you the last eight times and then you lose, does it send you in a tailspin? That's the reason why I think this game is just a little bit more important for K-State. I really think the KU has a chance to eliminate K-State from the Big 12 championship today. It's over to me if K-State doesn't win today. You got to take care of home court advantage in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you need to, for sure. But again, when it comes to me, and maybe I'm one of the few out there that the streak's great, I care about what KU does in the NCAA tournament. And if KU can't go into Kansas State tonight and get a win against a team that's favored, that's got a bunch of seniors like Dean Wade and Barry Brown and Kamau Stokes, and go into that atmosphere, can't get it done, then I'm going to lose some faith in KU. I don't care about the streak anymore. I'm sorry. I would rather have KU go to the Final Four and finish second in the Big 12. I would rather have KU make a deep run. And if this game gets them ready for that and they finish and – listen, if KU goes into this game tonight and gets beat and that turns their season around for the better, I'm all for that too. I just think tonight you're going to find out a hell of a lot about Kansas and how they respond. You've got freshman guards. You've got Dedrick Lawson, who's never gone into that atmosphere. You've got Abaji in there, who just took the red shirt off a few games ago. And you got LeGerald Vick, your only senior, which, let's be honest, you don't really know what you're going to get. Good LeGerald, bad LeGerald, I don't know. And you're going to go up against a lot of seniors and a team that expects to win this game and Vegas thinks is going to win this game. I think you're going to find out a hell of a lot about Kansas tonight.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.